Praise God, you're listening to Kingdom Concepts, Internet and Radio Broadcast Ministry. Praise God, you're listening to Kingdom Concepts, Internet and Radio Broadcast Ministry. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in. As always, it is so good to share this time with you. Amen. Hello to everyone who's listening on the internet at KingdomMinistries1.podomatic.com and on iTunes and Facebook, Kingdom Ministries on Facebook and Kingdom Concepts Internet and Radio Broadcast Ministry Facebook page. Hallelujah. And hello to everyone who's listening on WSIV 1540radio.com. Hallelujah. And in the city of Syracuse and surrounding areas on WSIV 1540 AM radio. Hallelujah. It's good to be with you all again. Blessings to everyone all around the world. Amen. I'd like to share something with you today before we get into our discussion in Ephesians chapter 6. This comes from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. And in our study of Ephesians, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. We've been talking about wrestling with spiritual wickedness and rulers of darkness in high places, spiritual wickedness and wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we've been talking about the armor of God and the weapons that we have at our disposal to make this stand for our Lord and for the our faith and for the good news that Jesus Christ has come into the world, that no one would have to perish and receive the wrath of God, that through Jesus Christ we can all find salvation. So something that pertains to this whole thing is kingdoms. And there's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of God. And there's a lot of different kingdoms and rulers in this world that have not submitted to God and who are in rebellion to God and who are enemies of God. Amen. Listen to what 1 Samuel chapter 8 says. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Samuel made his son judges over Israel. Now, the name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. And they were distracted. They were by the things of the world. They were turned aside. They went another way than the way that their father went, subjected to God and ruling by the mandates of God. And his sons, they decided to get money and bribes, not just money. The word here is lucre, so that could include other things, but usually things of value. And they took bribes and they perverted judgment, so they probably dealt with people treacherously, unrighteously, dishonestly. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Amen. They came. They got tired of the unjust way that Samuel's sons were judging the people. The judges in the land had power. And when they were taking bribes and perverting judgment, it affected the people. And it affected the people so much that they came to Samuel and they said, "You're old now and your sons aren't like you. So make us a king to judge us like the rest of the nations." Israel was not like the other nations. Israel was submitted to God, and Israel was God's people, and they followed God's law that was given to them by Moses, that was handed down to them through Moses from God. And it goes on to say, "But this thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee.'" Hearken, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, or unto you. So listen to the people, the voice of the people, what they're saying, and everything that they say. So to read it again, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say to you unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Hello? The people asked for a king to judge them, to be like all the other nations. And Samuel went to God. When Samuel was ruling, this was his method of operation, going to God. And so once again, in true form, Samuel went to God and told God that the people wanted a king they want like all the rest of the other nations. And Samuel, God told Samuel that the people weren't rejecting him, but God said that they are rejecting me, that I should not reign over them. So he's saying right here, I am the king. And they're asking for another king. They're rejecting me. And they're asking that the people, that they should be like the other nations and give them a person to be king. So here we have it right here. God said they are rejecting me when they do that. So he goes on and he says, "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." So God is saying that, this is a habit that the people have of rejecting God and rejecting God's anointed. So ever since I brought them out of Egypt, they've been fickle, and they've been like this. One minute they're with me, one minute they're not. And he said, so listen to them, but try to convince them that they shouldn't do this thing. And then show them what kind of king it is that they will have. Isn't it interesting that we will ask for someone to represent us when we are representatives ourselves? We are representatives of God, and we call him a king, but then what do? We go ask someone to represent us. We ask someone else to be a judge, a king over us, and we submit to them. And so God told Samuel to protest. Here we have that wrestling for dominance, for preeminence. Who was going to be the highest? Who is going to be in control? And Samuel is making that stand for God. And he's telling the people that God is your king, and you shouldn't have another king over you. And he's wrestling with this frame of mind, this spiritual condition of the people to turn away from the way of God to the way of man, of all the other nations that weren't submitted to God. So here we see it's like in the wrestling match where the guy's on the bottom and he's starting to get a little leverage, and you can see he's turning the tide. He's starting to get back in a position, a dominant position, where he can take control of the match. And God told Samuel to tell the people, okay, then if this is what you want, this is what you're going to get. Tell them what kind of king it's going to be. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. What were chariots for? Chariots were the vehicles of war. Chariots were for the king's use and for his military and his servants. But it's Samuel is telling the people here that the king isn't going to go get some other people to go to war and to fight the wars. He's going to take your sons, and he's going to put them in his chariots, and he's going to use your sons. Hallelujah. Sound familiar? And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Amen. This king that you want, this is what he's going to do. And this is what kings have done ever since. It's even going on now. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Sound familiar? Can we mention lobbyists right here? Can we mention special interests right here? Can we mention the separation of church and state? Governments that don't have anything to do with God. And the people of God are not to bring the things of God into the actions, decisions of the government. There's not supposed to be any interaction or overlap. They're supposed to be separate. You've got the government and over here, and you've got God over there. And we ask for a king. We ask for that type of representation. And then we wonder what's going on. And we continue to vote and continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Because God has already told us what is going to transpire. And could it be that we're rejecting him? Could it be that we don't trust him? Could it be that we don't believe that God is capable of being king? That it has to be a man? And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed. God gives seed to the sower. Hallelujah. And we are to give the tenth, the very first part, the first fruits to God. But you can't give the first fruits to God if you don't have them. If the king takes the tenth before you get it, before you get your seed, if the king takes the tenth away, amen. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Does any of this sound familiar? And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto every man of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." Amen. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15 says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And going on, it says, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. We need to pray for each other. Amen. And we need to hold on to our faith in these times where of deception and these times of persecution. There is a lot of Christians being persecuted. There's a lot of people that believe in Christ that are being persecuted. You may have even experienced it yourself. Maybe you have been laughed at and shunned. Maybe you feel discouraged from speaking your faith or sharing your faith in your workplace or in your community or in your group. Hallelujah. But you got to hold on. You got to put on that helmet of salvation. You got to remember what the Lord did for you, how he pulled you out of that low, dark, desolate place when you had nowhere else to turn and no one else to turn to, when you had tried everything and nothing worked, and the Lord came in and changed your life. Amen. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in.